Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode... I don't really know what episode it is. I just realized. I think it might be 87. And it's Thursday, May 24th. I'm pretty sure. It's been a weird week. We've had a stomach bug. Nothing horrible. Apparently, this bug is going around, and in some variations, it's quite nasty. And we've just gotten the, I don't feel good, and I'm hungry, but when I eat, I feel even worse. That version. And it's kind of sucked up a lot of this week. This week has been a sucked up week, you know? On Monday, Jack is doing this tip thing over at Duke Talent Identification Program, and they had a big ceremony, and he got a medal, and in the morning, he went over with the man, and they attended a seminar on thinking about college, and these are seventh graders, but, you know, and some of them, I'm sure, have already thought very, very seriously about college. I don't know. Jack just says he wants to go to Harvard, and we kind of nod and laugh. Like, yeah, that's going to happen. Not that he couldn't get in. I'm sure if he tried, he would have a shot at it. It's not that. It's more just I'd like to see that tuition bill. No, I would not like to see that tuition bill. So that was a full day, and it was a weird day. It was one of those days where you get up, and it's kind of overcast, and you go about your merry way, and then the dentist's office calls at 8:20 and says, Will was supposed to be here at 8, and you've just dropped off Will at school, and you're not the kind of person who misses appointments. I'm really not. I'm very organized in that way, at least. I'm pretty good about paying attention, and the dentist's office called on. They call on Thursday. That's probably the problem with Monday appointments, because a lot of dentist's office and doctor's office are closed on Friday. So they called Thursday, and I had it on my calendar and the whole thing, and just in all the running around and thinking about getting Jack over to Duke and go how long that ceremony was going to last in the afternoon. It didn't last all that long. They did a good job. All of that, I just forgot about the dentist, and so they said, fine, bring him on in at 9:30, and then I had to go pick Will up at school and take him, and so on and so forth, forever, on and on, and then Monday night, Will said, I don't feel very good, and I'm like, oh, we couldn't get out of school without one last bug, and then Tuesday morning, I got up and did my thing and realized as I was walking the dog that I did not feel good either, and I still feel kind of weird. It's one of those weird bugs, too, where you also you're like, oh, I feel fine. And then you don't anymore. So that's where we are. I am currently in the process of making whole wheat breadsticks for Jack's Latin class. Fortunately, the teacher emailed the families and said, by the way, your child has signed up for this. And you know what kills me? I mean, I don't mind doing whole wheat breadsticks. It's not that big of a deal. It's easy to make bread, pretty much. It's just as time-consuming. But other people on this list for this feast they're having... It's not much, really not much of a feast. Like, Sonia, you're in charge of bringing 6 pieces of celery. Someone else, a box of strawberries. Someone else, 3 radishes. Jack Dow, a dozen whole wheat breadsticks or crackers. I'm like, we're not bringing crackers. We're not bringing whole wheat crackers. Please, what kind of family do you think we are? Snotty about crackers. That's what kind of family we are, apparently. But, you know. Anyway, but fortunately, she did send out that email because Jack mentioned nothing. Jack, of course, came down with the bug Tuesday night, and yesterday afternoon, he was actually feeling a little better. It's not a long-lived thing. And he said, oh, well, you know, that's good because I have a band concert tonight. I'm like, honey, could you not have mentioned anything? And the band teacher, he gave us a sheet of paper at the beginning of the school year. Supposedly, we were supposed to tattoo to our inner arm so that we would know. So we would remember every single band concert. And Jack is just appalled that we've forgotten. But I'm sitting there like, I don't feel good. So I emailed the man and said, turns out Jack's got a band concert. You want to take him? And he was like, sure, fine. But then About an hour later, Jack's like, I don't feel that good anymore. So he didn't go, which was fine. He did go to school today. Yay. But Will didn't. Will went yesterday, thought he'd recovered. Went yesterday, and then this morning he woke up and felt terrible. That's the kind of bug it is, really. You feel like you're fine, and then you're down again. We'll be all over it this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Do you have plans? We will do a family cookout on Monday. But otherwise, no. We've never been a Memorial Day weekend. Let's get out of town. First of all, we tend not to get out of town on weekends when everyone's getting out of town, just because that's, you know, there's always some big wreck on the highway and you're stuck for hours, so why bother? The pool is open, and Gavin's mom, Sarah, has already suggested she might take the boys swimming. Yay! I have to get a swimsuit. I'm going to get some shorts, but some real shorts. I looked on, I think it was Eddie Bauer. I got an Eddie Bauer catalog. And they show these cover-up shorts that look like shorts you would wear, you know, I mean, just of an appropriate length. I don't know why in the summer I suddenly have to expose big parts of skin that, you know, 48-year-old skin that I wouldn't expose at any other time of the year. I would not, you know, I'm like, why? Why do we have to do this? So I saw these shorts. I'm like, that's what I want. Kind of just, you know, walking shorts that are made out of swim short material. It's like, that's what I want. That and a cute little top, cute little swim top, I'm good to go. But I really resent that. I'm like, why? I don't get that. I don't get my thighs don't look that great. And, it, you know, there's cellulite, there's veins, there's stuff. I'm almost 50 years old. Why should any of us go through that? I don't know. Pool season. I don't even want to think about it. I am still in the process of trying to get this 7th grade pool party together with my partner in crime, Ellen, and the problem we're having right now, nobody wants to chaperone, which, who can blame them? But we have 7 or 8 advisories. I think that's right. And each advisory needs to provide parents to drive kids over to the pool. No problem. All kinds of people agree to drive. Parents of individual children have to come pick them up from the party. So that's not a problem. People are very happy to drive the kids and drop them off. But you also need, per advisory, 2 chaperones. And so we should have 16 in all. And right now we've got about 5. That's so slack. 7th grade parents are really slack. I say this as a room parent. And all my fellow room parents across the advisories are just like tearing their hair out. Obviously, we're not slack because we're the kind of people who volunteer to be room parents. Now, my feeling, probably 7th grade, what happens is a lot of people, especially if they're 7th graders, their youngest child, a lot of women who may have had more time, may have worked part-time or not worked at all earlier in their children's lives, are back to work. And that's, you know, and there's just, they don't have that kind of leeway to volunteer. So I try to be understanding. At the same time, it's like, well, if your kid drowns, well, that's a horrible thing to say, and there actually will be lifeguards. So I think most people are just like, you know, no, do I want to spend 3 hours with 100 seventh graders? Why? No, I don't. And who can blame them? And had I known what this volunteer job entailed, I would not have signed up either. So, but if at this point, if I weren't a room parent and my room parent was saying, please, someone be chaperone, I would like roll my eyes and sigh and do it. Anyway, so that's going on. Things that are taking up my... so I really spent like an hour and a half yesterday sending out emails. Like, come on, people, let's get our acts together. But very nicely and sweetly, so no one will hate me. I have got some quilting done. By the way, no quilt diaries this week. It's just been that kind of week. And, you know, who knows? I don't always have to do quilt diaries, I guess. It's not a rule that anyone imposed upon me. It just seemed like it's easier for me to do little pieces at a time. But the last few weeks, not the case. Quilting. I am making more progress with stars. Got lots of stars. I'm taking other things off my design board to get those stars up there. And I will have a picture. I have a few more to put together. This will take just the last step of star assembly. And I will put them up and take a picture. And I spent yesterday, I was not feeling too good. But what I did is I traced my feather pattern onto tracing paper. I finished up and have all the tracing done that I need to do. So I'm kind of eager to get back on that pony. I'm kind of eager to get back on any pony at this point. So that, I think that's it. I wanted to tell you, if you watch the quilt show, if you're a member of the quilt show, they have, you know, they do, this was really neat. They, you know, they do classes, and I got an email saying, here's a new class about machine quilting. And the first lesson was posted yesterday, and it's free. Because I thought, well, you know, I'd really love to do something like that. I wonder how much it costs. It's free. Now, the first lesson was just kind of an introduction to the course. But I think they are putting up a lesson. It's four or five lessons. It's a short course and a new lesson every week. And I will be checking into that because I can use all the help and advice I can get. And whatever deeper understanding I could have of the process would be very helpful. So if you subscribe to the Quilt Show and are interested in machine quilting, check that out. I don't know if it's going to be good. The introduction was just an introduction. So hard to tell from that, although the woman was likable. She's one of those people who, when she smiled, her whole face lit up. She looked totally different when she smiled. What else was I going to tell you? There was something I was thinking. Oh, you know, it was interesting. So yesterday I was tracing feathers onto tracing paper. And you know, that takes quite a bit of time. So I've got this sheet of paper here. It is maybe, let's see, 10 and a half by 6. And it's got two feather wreaths, sort of half wreaths of feathers. And I don't know, I did not time it. I'm not that weird. But at some point, I was like, wow, you know, this is taking a lot of time. It's a very interesting thing to think about. I know I've pondered this out loud before, but just in terms of how we use our time and how we think of our time and the notion that we must be super productive with our time. That I continue to ponder, and I continue, you know, Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us is doing her slow quilting thing this year, which I think is admirable and good because, you know, there are projects, I wonder if there are projects that we don't take up because we think they would take too much time or too much effort for ultimately, I mean, because the interesting thing thinking about the work I did yesterday, which is spending, I don't know, I mean, I must have certainly spent an hour, maybe more, tracing these designs for a quilt, the Hexagon Garden quilt, which I made out of scraps of fabric, nice fabric, and I don't know why, just because it's leftover fabric, it should have any less value. Sorry, Travis is being very silly. I just edited out some barking because Will, like, moved in the other room, and Travis is half asleep, and he's like a dowager dog. He's like, he's 95, you know, like an old man waking up from that, going, what, what, what? Anyway, he's driving me crazy. So yes, it's interesting how we think about things, how I think about things. So not only, so there's this time factor on a quilt that's just really going to be a casual, throw it on the family room couch kind of thing. You know, so it's not a special occasion quilt. It's not a gift quilt. It's a quilt that I did not buy new fabric for, except nope, I didn't buy any new fabric for this quilt except for the border. Did I tell you I found the fabric that Sandy helped me pick out when she was here a couple months ago? I found some other fabric when I was looking around for it that was similar. I'm like, this isn't right, though. This doesn't look right. I can't believe this is what we picked out. And then I found the actual fabric that we did pick out that works very nicely. Anyway, So here I am spending hours tracing, or hours, it's kind of exaggerating, but I guess all in all, I probably have spent hours, and both, and especially if you like add the tracing and the picking out of tracing paper after I've sewn over it, that definitely hours. And here's this project again, not for anybody, not special, didn't run out and buy yards and yards of new fabric for it. And it's a fun, and part of me is like, wow, you're just putting so much time into this, and for what? And I thought, because I really enjoy it. I also think that's, I don't really think of myself as a quilt artist, but I do think, you know, think about play, I guess, the concept of play. When you're a kid and you play, you don't ask why you're playing. You don't ask yourself what this play is supposed to result in. What are you going to get out of it? What's the product of your play? And so in some ways, I think when we quilt, we are playing. And it can be an expensive kind of playing because fabric is expensive. Although with this quilt, I mean, it's not that this quilt doesn't cost anything. That's a weird thing when you ponder using fabric that you bought for one, you know, the leftover scraps of fabric. And it's almost like free fabric. I'm like, no, it's not free. You paid for it. But it's fabric that you paid for that's being used, and fabric that could easily have just gone into a bin someplace and not been used. So you feel like you're getting full value for your money. But it's somehow, I don't know. I know I'm rambling, but ideas are coming to me. And it's interesting to think of this sort of quote-unquote leftover fabric as somehow being secondhand, when in fact it's very nice fabric, and it was bought for a firsthand project. So value and productivity and investments. We just think like a bunch of capitalists about art. It's just crazy. But it is play. And you know what? When I was doing the tracing, I enjoyed it. It's fun to trace. Do you remember doing that when you were a kid, tracing stuff when I was a kid, there was still, of course, typing paper and typewriters and, you know, so onion paper. I'm sure there's still onion paper, but, you know, that really, really thin paper that you could trace. And my mom had a typewriter, Smith Corona, and I don't even know where she kept her typing paper, but she did. And I remember using it to draw and to trace and to, you know, putting it over pictures and trying to trace those pictures. So tracing is fun, you know, and I enjoyed it. I did have that flicker of a thought that, wow, are you spending too much time? What are you getting out of this time spent? It's like time is money. Time is money, and time is not money. And time is especially not money if you feel that you are, in some sense, living in eternity, which those of us who believe in eternity, we are. And even if you don't believe in eternity, you're still living in it. That's the interesting thing about play. Whatever kind of play that is, where you lose sense of time. And sometimes I have that with writing. Sometimes I don't. And it's a little harder right now for that to happen. Sometimes it will on a weekend if I don't have anyone to go pick up. Right now with writing, I feel I'm always conscious, like I need to knock off at this point because I need to do this and this and this. I might need, but certainly I've had experiences writing where you lose all sense of time. And I've had that with quilting and drawing and all kinds of creative things. And I do think that when that happens, it's not that time stops. It's that time opens up, and time is always opened up. Yeah. Because we live in eternity. We just have imposed order and constraints on the eternity because that's how we are as human. We like to control things like time. Yes, rambling on, but I'm trying to work out my thoughts with you. And maybe as I'm rambling, you're either going, please just shut up, which is fine because, you know, fair enough, and go about your business. Or maybe you're thinking, yeah, boy, she's a genius. No, you're probably not thinking that. But maybe it's bringing up thoughts, thinking about, gee whiz, the phone is ringing. You know why? Well, it's probably Jack's friend Aiden, but it could also be the credit card thing where they say, this is an urgent message about your credit card, and it's not really. But they just, well, kind of suck. You know, yeah. You know, it's just like we want to give you a new credit card, or we want you to be further into credit card debt. Wait a second. Will's walking my way with the phone. That was the man. It wasn't the man. It was the man. He's on his way home from work. He took the minivan, which needs servicing, to the Honda dealership, and in it, he put his bike and his bike helmet, and he's actually riding his bike home from the Honda dealership. Very nice. It's a ways. I think it'll take him 45 minutes. It's way over on the other side of town, but I think he's cool. I thought that was a cool idea, especially because it means I don't have to go pick him up at the Honda dealership. Lazy. So those are my rambling thoughts on quilting and the quilt making process and how we use our time, and is time money? Time's not really money. Time is not really money. Time is not really time. I'll leave you with that thought. I don't know that I have any other quilty things to tell you. This is sad. My birthday's coming up next week. And the man's like, oh, I need a birthday list from you. And one of the things I'm asking for is actually trainer time over at my gym. I want to work out with a personal trainer for a little bit. There's a woman who I've taken some classes, like Pilates and a dance class, Rebecca, who I like very, very much. And she also works as a personal trainer. And so I thought I'd like to do some personal training this summer. My hips hurt a lot. You know, it used to be like my neck and my shoulders, and I think I've compensated in some way. You know, I sit a lot to work, as a lot of us do, and now it's in my hips. I'm like, good Lord. So I want to work on flexibility and some weight training, and I've been doing more weight training lately. This week, of course, has been wiped out by my bug, but I'm trying to get on that and stay with that. I really actually enjoy it a lot, and you know, I just love the idea of having some muscles in my upper body at some point in my life before I die. That's what I'm shooting for. But I didn't come up with any good quilty stuff. I just didn't think about it in time. I feel like I haven't had time as of late to finish the stuff that I'm working on. So. And I don't want to get overwhelmed by getting new fabric or new books or new whatever. Although there are certainly some books I saw, I thought, oh, I'd really like that. But I need to finish the books that I have. I need to use the fabric that I have. I need to finish the projects I'm working on. And then I will move on. So I'm just asking for a few books. I'm asking for time with a personal trainer, a couple hours, because it's like $55 an hour, but you just meet for 30 minutes a week. And come up with a program and what have you. So that's what I'm asking for. And quick book report. I am almost done with Caleb's Crossing by Gwendolyn Brooks. I'm enjoying it very much. At first, I wasn't sure. Now, the other book I've read by her, as I've mentioned, is March, which I loved, loved, loved. Thought it was wonderful. The interesting thing about Caleb's Crossing, so it's set in the 1600s. It's on what is now Martha's Vineyard, and it's in part the story of a young woman's relationship with a native. I can't remember what the tribe is called, but she makes friends with this young native boy who she names Caleb. He gives her, and this is one of my least favorite things in the book. So they have a discussion early on about naming, and he's telling her what his name is, but that his name might change, because apparently in his tribe, the names aren't permanent, and at different times you might have a different name. And so she names him Caleb, and he names her Storm Eyes. She has gray eyes. Apparently they're stormy. I was just like, which made me kind of want to throw up. I don't know why. I mean, at least it wasn't Stormy Eyes. That would have been really bad, but Storm Eyes also. And so he refers to her as Storm Eyes through much of the book. And I was just like, fortunately, not so often that I actually threw the book across the room. And that might not be something that bothers you. It bothered me. The very first part actually did remind me a lot of Witch on Blackbird Pond, which is a wonderful book. It was a Newbery winner, I think. Certainly won an honor, but I think won the Newbery. Wonderful book. And there's similarities in location and time. I was happy with Caleb's Crossing. The young woman, her father is a minister, and he turns out to be a good guy. I know there are a lot of clergy who, I mean, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely, and there are reasons that clergy get in trouble. But most of the clergy I have known in my lifetime have actually been really decent, honorable people. And so you get tired after a while opening up every book where a minister appears, he's like really horrible and racist and awful. And not to say that horrible, awful, racist ministers have not existed. They have in horrible numbers. But there are a lot of good guys too. So fortunately, her father turns out to be a good guy. But there was a point in the first part of the book where I was feeling like, I feel like this story has been told before, you know, where the young woman finds that the native ways are in so many ways more desirable and more ethical and humane. And I thought, wow, I've read this book about 100 times. But then we move away from that, and it becomes more interesting and more complex. So I'm enjoying it. I think I probably have about 50 pages left. So once I really got into it, and that's one thing about being sick, of course, is I've had a lot of reading time. I really have read a lot of it the last day or two and really enjoyed it. I'm also continuing with The Right Hand Shore by Christopher Tillman. And I feel like I need to read quickly because the other night on Fresh Air, Maureen Corrigan, I think that's her name, reviewed it. And so now I'm thinking, wow, I bet there's got, you know, I feel like I've just got 1 week left on it, and I bet there's some requests for it. I'm going to check. I've been meaning to check that all day. I was right, there are 4 requests, so I need to get reading on that. And I'm about 150 pages into it. It's just so well done. He writes so well, and I'm really interested in it, and I'm really enjoying that book. I'll give you a fuller report later, but I've been happy to read that, and in and out of other things. And for my birthday, I'm going to ask for some cookbooks and some theology books, and I don't know about novels, if I will or not. I haven't quite decided. And a gardening book. So there you have it. One other thing I wanted to mention, a podcast that I have started listening to. Actually, I started listening to it on our local PBS station. Is it PBS Public? Well, NPR station, called Snap Judgment. Have you listened to this? It plays, I don't know when we picked it up. I mean, I feel like it's been the last 6 months or so. It's a Saturday afternoon show here. But I always miss it because it's like at 2. It comes after This American Life. And This American Life, for me, is hit or miss. Sometimes I absolutely love it, and sometimes I just kind of feel like, wow, no, this is too whatever. I do sometimes really love it, and sometimes just don't connect with the vibe. But I'm really, really loving Snap Judgment, which is in a lot of ways similar to This American Life. You can get it on podcast. You can go to iTunes and search for Snap Judgment. Similar kind of stories. They do a lot in conjunction with, what is it called? StoryCorps. They seem to share some projects with StoryCorps and borrow from their archives. So really neat. I'm enjoying it. I can't tell you the guy who hosts it. I don't know what his name is, but he's quite wonderful. And I have to say, he's African-American, and I just feel like, you know, we could use some more African-American male voices on NPR. It's pretty white in general and not really overwhelmed by just masses of African-American men. Just not, as far as announcers and shows. And so I really appreciate a different voice on NPR. So I would recommend that. I want to thank everybody who came by either my Podbean site or the WordPress site to say hey. I want to thank Terry and Shelley Beth, Laura Kelly from Pioneer Quilter, Sherry D. Walker Lady, Margaret K., Kelly the Fifth, Pat Seeger, AJ Deb, and Tori. Thank you so much for taking the time to come over. And then if I go over to my Podbean site, I want to say thank you to Noni, who posted on episode 86, and Lazy Daisy from Lazy Daisy Quilts on episode 85. It is so good to hear from everybody. I appreciate you again taking the time and effort. I appreciate everyone who made comments in their head. I know how that goes. If you would like to make a comment on this episode, hey, we're almost at 30 minutes. See, rambling works. Come over either to Podbean, offkilterquilt.podbean.com, or over to my WordPress site, which is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, and leave a comment. You can email me at fdowell@nc.rr.com. I love hearing from you, and I hope to hear from all of you soon. I hope you have a great week. I'm hoping I have a great week. I'm really having fun making progress on Rick's Star Quilt and having fun thinking about doing some more machine quilting. I feel like I'm ready. I'm ready to get back on that particular pony again and be done, not to just be done with it. That's another thing. If we got into the whole thinking about process and creativity and time, I'm not interested in being done just to be done, but to see the finished quilt in all of its secondhand scrap quilt glory. Now, why is it? Why do we think that? Why do I? You may not think that way at all because you may have a better head on your shoulders, but why is this quilt somehow lesser? Is it because some of those hexagons are a little distorted? Maybe it's that. It shouldn't be a lesser quilt. There's nothing lesser about this quilt, just because it's made from leftover fabric. Food for thought. Food for thought. Have a great week. Do your work. I will do my best to do mine and to talk about it here next week on the Off Kilter Quilt. Bye. quick PS. I realized as I was listening to this to edit that I referred to the author of Caleb's Crossing as Gwendolyn Brooks. It is Geraldine Brooks. Gwendolyn Brooks is the wonderful poet, and I would recommend you read her work as well. Thank you.